Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Talking Data podcast. Today, again, I'm joined by Ed Burns, the senior news writer for SearchBusinessAnalytics.com. I'm Jack Vaughn. I am the senior news writer for SearchDataManagement.com. And each of us were able to attend a conference recently, Deep Learning Summit 2016 in Boston, put on by the Rework crew. And I guess we're going there to bring back to the business intelligence and data management readers some view on what's going on with deep learning, which seems to be the next threshold or a plateau for machine learning. Ed, first of all, deep learning and machine learning, some confusion. What would you say deep learning is?
Well, I'm not sure that I have the best answer for that, but I can tell you some of what I feel I gathered at the conference. The one thing that I kept hearing over and over when people were talking about deep learning was that it's machine learning just taken to a deeper level of abstraction. So that's a fun term, right? I'm not exactly sure what it means, but just from hearing it in context over and over again, it sounded to me like it's applying machine learning algorithms to less structured problems. And so I think one good way to really explain it is through the example of natural language processing. I think that this is one area where deep learning has had a lot of success, and I think it illustrates what people mean when they talk about this deeper level of abstraction. So at one level, which would be a pretty basic machine learning thing, you can develop an algorithm that learns the dictionary definition of words. And so that can be somewhat useful, but obviously what would be more useful is learning what those words mean in a sentence. And so taking a machine learning algorithm to a deeper level would be applying it to a sentence. But so then people don't always talk in robotic sentences. Obviously, we have all kinds of idioms, and we make jokes that don't necessarily make literal sense. So then the still deeper level of abstraction would be applying machine learning to understanding how people actually speak. And so when we're talking about deep learning, we're not talking about jumping straight to that last problem of understanding how people actually speak. I think that we're talking about kind of stacking up a series of machine learning algorithms that eventually arrive at that deeper point. And I think that there is still quite a bit of confusion, though, when we talk about the differences between these two terms. I don't know that a lot of people really do have a firm understanding of the distinction between machine learning and deep learning. But from my time at the conference, that was the big takeaway for me, just getting at these deeper problems that typical machine learning algorithms running on typical structured data just can't really get to. The similar examples that we saw come up again and again were algorithms that can view photos or video and arrive at some kind of understanding of what's happening in those images, which obviously is something that an algorithm that works on typical structured data just can't really get to.
Well, I saw some of that too, and some of the wait and see on is deep learning a big step from machine learning. But some of the things that do seem to happen is that they're creating models, and those models are something that they're open sourcing, so they're more available to a wider research community, and they can try the models on different problems and tweak them and move things along a little more quickly. And also, as with machine learning, there was a certain set of tools and algorithms often being synonymous it was a set of tools that became de rigueur. And that's happening again with deep learning, different combinations. Some of them are not necessarily new, quote-unquote, like fast Fourier transforms, but they have been making advances in them. We look to somebody like a Twitter or a Facebook or a Google to see what is the cutting edge with this type of technology. Those are the firms that are making it happen. And did you get a chance to, as I think you told me, you got some idea of what Twitter is doing about this?
That's right. There was a presentation by Hugo La Rochelle. He's a research scientist at Twitter, and he talked about how that company is using deep learning, and they're basically using it to get a better understanding of their users, looking for kind of the nexus of interests, how different people are connected to each other. Whether they're connected directly through following each other, or if they're maybe just connected by frequently tweeting out similar hashtags, that kind of thing. And so they're using this to get a fairly deep picture of every single one of their users, and they're using this information to help promote, suggest different people to follow, promote videos and images that people are taking and posting on Twitter. And the idea is basically just to personalize the service more for every individual user by giving them things that Twitter is reasonably certain people will be interested in. And by personalizing the service more, you get a deeper level of engagement. At least that's what Twitter is hoping. And so, you know, people spend more time on the platform, use it more. Obviously, that's good for business. So it was interesting to see how they're really using it to start at a really broad problem, which is understanding your user base, but then at the same time using the same tool to really drill down into much more specific detail on specific things that each individual on the service is interested in. And so along those lines, I know you also, on the day that you were there, Jack, saw a presentation from a representative of Facebook, and it sounded like they're kind of driving at somewhat similar purposes.
Yeah, little different in some details, a lot of similarity overall to what you described. Andrew Tulloch was a research engineer at Facebook, and he spoke about deep learning in production at Facebook. But from my notes, it seems he used the term machine learning about as much as he used deep learning. And basically, Facebook, as he described it, has used machine learning. It's been an intrinsic part of the company from the get-go, and it's been used to create new products. And they increasingly are basing, and for them, new products are different than something we may think of as products. Products could be a photo search, an improvement to photo search for Facebook means money. And as he did describe some of the issues they are encountering, some of it has to do with infrastructure, in that the trend to deeper networks has hardware implications. So we've talked in some of our earlier podcasts about the use of GPUs or graphical processor units for machine learning. He still robustly favors them for training networks, but he did say that the company is working on the type of algorithms that work well with CPUs, computer processor units, in the production or the runtime of the machine learning or deep learning application. And so that's just something to watch out. Even at Facebook, there may not be a completely infinite pool of machines to do learning.
Right. But it sounds like they are getting at a pretty common use, at least from my time at the conference that I saw over and over again, was trying to apply an automated system to understanding images and video, which is something that for the entire time that we've been covering big data the last few years, it sounds like that's kind of the a really big goal. You know, a lot of companies have a lot of data that's in the form of a video or you know, unstructured text from customer service notes it's a ton of data, and there's obviously a lot of really useful information in there, but for the last few years it's just been really untouchable. But so it sounds like that's kind of what a lot of deep learning is getting at. It's really trying to find a way to automate the processing and use of these unstructured data formats.
Yeah, well, we've been seeing this jump from dealing primarily with, for the enterprises to be dealing primarily with structured relational data to including unstructured data. It does seem like these web wunderkinds are ahead in terms of the issue of imaging and video, but there may be some reason to think that will become a prevalent data form in time to come, and that the machine learning, the deep learning capabilities to find out what's in there will be useful. So I think you're off to an assignment, as I understand it, and we wish you good luck with that, and be glad to have you when you're back. Ed, thanks, and thanks to the audience for being with us on the Talking Data podcast.